Welcome to Pinky Hoots Creative Space, a podcast to uplift female creators with Asian heritages into the spotlight. I am your host, Lisi, aka Pinky Hoot. I get deep into the creators' background stories, process, and everything in between. Come and get inspired and get motivated. Today, I have the talented Eri Haridai. So Eri is a Japanese-Taiwanese 3D artist whose rendered art is a fusion of Eastern, Asian, and Western aesthetics influenced by her cross-cultural background. So when I first discovered you, when I first saw your artwork, I was just floored by the intricacy and depth and the light that you have on them, right? So I kind of looked into deeper, like what program you use and how you do them. And I definitely have some questions there, but I think I saw somewhere on your post, you say that you can't help yourself from putting light effects on them. And I think that the light effect just made all the difference. And actually, since I saw your post, I've been experimenting light in my own art in After Effects. And oh my gosh, it makes such a big difference. So like before I even talk to you. Yes. So before I even talk to you, I learned something already. So I'm so excited. So since it's 1 a.m., how are you? What's your mental state?
I'm very awake. I'm actually very awake. This is the perfect time for me. Any later, and I'm not sure if I can communicate properly. So just wanted to make sure it's still around 1 a.m.
Yeah. No, it's good. And I just let everybody know this space is usually 1 hour later. How many designers and creators takes to figure this like time thing out? And I like consulted so many websites. And FYI, don't ask BART, because the BART, the Google AI, does not know time difference. So anyway.
Oh my God, that's something I learned.
Yeah, I asked BART and he gave me such wrong answer. I was like, that can't be right. So that's when your human brain has to kick in and take over the logic, right? So we can't really trust 100% AI. And I do have questions about AI for you later. So yeah, let's get started. Yeah?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yes. So I always start with this question with my speakers, but I think for you, this question is probably especially important and insightful because you do have a mixed Asian heritage background. So yeah, so can you tell us a little bit about your background upbringing? Like who is Eri before the art? What was your childhood like? What are you like?
Okay. So I was born in Taiwan and then moved to Japan when I was 3. So I don't have much memory of that. And then from Japan, I moved to Hong Kong, where I basically grew up there. But I had my education in an international school. And for people who lived in Hong Kong, they know we have like quite a bubble when it comes to the local and the international scene. So it kind of made me have this British education, but I had this American British culture around me. And I had like a very, well, I'm sure you can tell, but I do have a bit of like an American accent, maybe. I'm not sure.
You do.
People do say I have an American accent.
And I was so confused when I was trying to look at where you're from. Because I was going through your feed and I read some of the things and, you know, your videos went out. I can't figure out where she's from.
Yeah. So it's a very weird mix that I am. And people get very confused. And I understand why. And then, yeah, from my teenage life in Hong Kong, I moved to London and for university, and I lived there for 5 years. Thankfully, I didn't get a British accent because then that would really confuse people again. And then after London, I moved to Japan, where I spent pretty much like more than 10 years there now. Yeah. So I've been in Japan for a long time.
Well, this is probably, you know, too existential question to ask, but do you see yourself in Japan for the foreseeable future?
I think that I see Japan as maybe a base, but I have more of a dream of working remote and seeing, because I have a lot of friends outside of Japan. And actually, for the longest time, I really wanted to leave Japan. But I think this is a very typical story of people who move here. They always say, I'll just stay in Japan for 1 year. And then they end up staying for 10 years.
So that's right.
I'm here still. And my family is here too. So I think, I'm not sure if I'll leave completely, but I think that's what's so great about the generation now, where you could just move around and you don't have to stay in one location forever. So yeah, that's how I'm seeing this place right now.
Yes, I think for our, maybe you're younger than me, but like my generation and down, I feel like that's not a big deal. But I think for our parents, it's still kind of hard to think you're going to move around all your life, right?
Yeah, I'm probably not that young. I'm mid-30s.
Oh, okay. We might be around the same then. Okay, yeah. I feel better.
Okay. I've been alive for a while.
Okay, which actually makes sense because you had such a long career, which we'll get into in a second. But I want to ask, how has your cross-cultural background kind of influenced you as an individual, especially now that I found out you've moved around all these other locations? I'm sure like who you are and how you see the world is probably so different from someone who didn't have that opportunity, you know?
Yeah, so I think my art is actually a lot to do with that. I was thinking how I should frame this, and I think I should just talk about it to do in my art as well. So for the longest time, I've been called like the foreign girl. So in Hong Kong, I was the Japanese girl. And then when I came to Japan, they called me, oh, but you're also very foreign. So you're a foreigner. So it felt like wherever I went, I was a foreigner and outsider. And I think became like quite a big theme in my head where I don't know where my identity is. No physical location feels like my actual home. And in a way, this art that I'm creating, where it's a mix of Asian, well, Japanese mainly right now, and Western aesthetics, it's kind of my way of creating my own identity in a world. In a way, it's kind of like I'm not just Japanese, or I'm not just Chinese, I'm not a whitewashed Asian. I'm a mix of all this, and this is what Aerie is. And that's why I create the art that I do. And one other reason I also call my art Neo-Japanism is also because Japanism is about like appreciation for Japanese art from almost like an outsider view. And it's a question for me, am I creating this through an appreciation from an outsider, or am I creating it because it's my roots? So yeah, it's like a question in my head that I've had for a while. So I would say that's how my culture has influenced my art.
Whoa. Well, first of all, I didn't know what Neo-Japanism meant in your profile, so now I do. And I think that's a really profound question that you are asking yourself. And as you're saying it, I was thinking about that for myself, right? Because I'm Chinese. I moved to America when I was a teenager in high school. So
yes.
Like I've definitely at this point, right? I've been in America longer than I've been in China, but I feel like because my first part of my upbringing was China, like the identity is still pretty strong in me. So like now when I make art, like you said, I find myself wondering, am I looking at this from, you know, just art? Because I create Asian women, Asian art, and, you know, figurative, surreal. And I find myself, am I looking at it from a, like, is that me expressing to the outside world, or am I looking at it from an outside view towards that, my inner self?
And I found
And
another question, like when you move back to China, you think it's your childhood home, but it feels different now because you've lived in America for so long. And now you're just confused.
100%. No, 100%. Because I used to be in the footwear industry. I was a shoe designer for over 10 years. So I was going to China a lot. And exactly like you said, when I'm there, they treat me like a foreigner, but because I do speak Chinese with them, they feel like I'm not quite a foreigner, but not quite one of them either.
I completely understand. And I think after I questioned these things, I also realized it's quite a universal thing. You know, it's not just me and my Japanese roots. It's also about like, I'm so LGBTQ as well. You know, like you just don't feel like you fit into whatever environment you're in, and you need to, it's like this journey to find where do I belong. And
100%. And I think it's so great, like being, you know, now that internet is accessible, Web3 is accessible, that I'm able to find artists like you, just people like you who like kind of know what that means. And actually, like when we're at, just now, we're talking about the identity thing, like it definitely triggers something in my mind that I want to explore further. And like you said, I don't feel so alone being in that space, because it's actually alone to individual, but not that unique to a lot of people in this world.
That's also why I wanted to communicate this better. Like it used to be more about how I felt isolated and disconnected, but it's a universal thing. And also when I joined the NFT space, it also evolved my art, because the NFT community turned out to be like my second home. That everyone,
I feel so
many weird and interesting people that are just like us, right?
And I admire people who are not like afraid of showing the interesting and weird or whatever that they think is awesome. Because I don't really get that in traditional galleries and museums, right? You go see that even anywhere in the world, maybe I go to a museum in Asia, I might see more pop art, or I might see more like cute, big head figure kind of things. But still, it's very like there's some a little bit of sameness. It's like the same type of art, the same, you know, the artist, the same curator who are at least behind the scene for a lot of these things, right?
I think for me, it's a bit like there's a wall, like because I'm not part of trad art, so I feel like I'm not supposed to know or appreciate. I'm not supposed to understand them because I'm not in that circle. But at least in the NFT community, I've met everyone voice to voice or chat to chat.
Yes.
So I know. It's just really, I think it really changed my home in Japan as well by joining this NFT community.
That's awesome. You don't feel so isolated or like just, you don't feel like I'm in Japan. So everything I come in contact with or consume is Japanese. Yeah. Like there's another world on the internet.
Yeah.
That you the literal world is at your fingertip on the internet. And that's really awesome.
A lot of people don't leave their home, so I get to see them.
I know. Yeah, awesome. So we like talked a little bit before about long career because we, you know, we're not new around the block at this point. So for those of the audience who doesn't know, Eri is or used to be doing projection mapping. Are you still doing that, by the way?
Yes, I do, because, you know, bear market times, you can't really go full yard. So yeah, I still do it, and I actually appreciate it more now because I think stable income is important, or it starts affecting my own creative personal art. But yeah, I still do
it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, when you're stressed about finances, nobody's have the space to be creative, right? And same. And I think I tell a lot of my like friends or people who are not in the industry or in doing arts, like you'd be surprised at how many creators, artists have a full-time job, quote unquote, a side job, because that income doing whatever allows them to do all this crazy pursuit.
Yeah,
right?
If anything,
so I'm
the majority.
I think so. But I think people who are not in the industry, who are not in the world, from outside, I mean, like who are not in the art at all, because you hear about artists, you see artists doing art, you think that's what they do. And the dream of like, even in this space, is when I talk to different artists, I find out, oh, like all these people have really other cool, interesting other jobs. And this is just like one facet of their lives.
Oh yeah.
Which I find interesting.
I know an artist, Sanjay. He is an acupuncture / artist, which is really cool.
That's so interesting.
He's like, if you get free acupuncture. No, he didn't say free. He said, come get
free. That's funny. I do need some acupuncture on my neck.
Oh, yeah, we're older.
Yes. Yes, yes. Like hunching in front of, like, I'm sure everyone here has the same issue of hunching over the computer or their phones, right? Yes, yes. So, like, what's doing projection mapping like? I don't know anything about that industry. All I know is I see insane displays at like concerts, in arenas, and I'm recently starting to notice my neighbors how they do the small projectors to buy for Halloween decorations and stuff. That's new. So yeah, what's that industry like? And how do you find jobs, or, you know, like how do people, what do people contact you for?
So I have to separate the projection mapping and stage visuals, because I mainly, my work is actually more live visuals. And the company I used to work in, they also sometimes do projection mapping. So I would say my main work is stage visuals, where I create graphics for a lot of music. And the work is really fun. And I worked with a lot of famous artists and musicians that I can't talk about, which is sad. And that's what I kind of want to get into. I really enjoy the work that I'm doing, but also the creative industry in Japan does need to have a better work environment for creators, maybe, because I think non-disclosure, the NDA, is pretty much most of a lot of the creative works that people do in companies. And I've literally had like 10 years worth of work that I can't tell anyone. And I think that's very demotivating for a lot of the people that I worked with. And yeah, so I don't want to be negative about it, but it's also one of the reasons why I joined the NFT space as well.
I see. That's actually really surprising, because in my memory and impression is always like Japanese creators are kind of like at the tip of all the innovation and skills and whatnot. I think they still are, but the fact that they can't share the work if they've done some like awesome collaboration with a big company or artist, that's weird. I do think that's weird.
Yeah.
Especially after like years, like why does that matter?
Yeah, I think it's when you're under a company, the company is like really scared, very risk adverse. So always worried that if we say some information, it will like cause problems and the client will work with us again or something. So yeah, like sometimes maybe an employer will post about the live concert that's happening maybe next week, and then they'll find out. Mm-hmm. And then emails will be sent to everyone who works in the project saying like, oh, this person has posted about it on Twitter, and now we must make sure no one's posting any more information about this, because it's, yeah, and it's just like, it gets so
very hush-hush.
Yeah,
very strict. Anything. Oh, wow. Then you'll probably discourage you from posting anything work-related because it could get in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're still posting your personal work.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you have even the time to do your personal work so you get to share with us.
Yes.
I was on your website and all your other links. Like, you have such large body of work and exhibitions under your belt. Is there one that was your favorite? And what was your strategy? All that just kind of happened, or like you had a method in your head?
How should I put it?
I guess that's two questions. You can answer one at a time. Which one is there one that is like your favorite exhibition or body of work that you did?
One of the most surprising was that, you know, like NFT Asia managed to get my work in Art Dubai, and I'm like not a long working trad artist, right? And it's all thanks to NFT Asia. And that's what's one of like the big surprising things about joining the NFT community. And I think my strategy really was like I started in very early, and I joined a lot of communities, especially NFT Asia. And that's how you start getting to know the people, and they start sharing your work, and you start meeting people with maybe connections to exhibitions or shows. And if you're on their mind a lot, they're going to remember or reach out to you, because sometimes people get a lot of things like, oh, can you recommend artists? Times, and you don't want to always dig, and you just think of, oh, I know this person and I like their work, or this person was really nice to me, I'll reach out to them. And I think it just snowballs from there. So to put it to kind of, because I think it's quite hard to just say be early. It's 2023 now. I think the key is to really join a lot of communities and make sure you build relationships, because you never know who can like bring what opportunities to you. One more thing is that when someone does bring an opportunity to you, make sure you're very respectful and you're on time to send information. You try your best to also promote and hype up their event or exhibition as well, because I think they would appreciate that. You know, it takes a lot of effort to organize events, and they need to get eyes on it too. They can market the event and organize at the same time. So yeah, I think maybe doing good, it's kind of like it comes around. I don't know if I've explained that very well.
What you've said is this really, really good tips, because I don't think the being early part really matters, because if you look at social media or everything else that's outside of Web3, there's people arriving and getting big at any point.
Yeah.
Sure, it might get harder when the space is more crowded, but it's still happening. And then like you dig into how they got there, because I think on the surface, it seems so easy, like quote unquote easy, like someone gets big. Like, oh yeah, they post this kind of picture, this is how they do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's how they, but if you dig deeper, it's like, you have no idea how much effort or time that those people put into to get there. Right.
Yeah.
So I think being early, or when you arrive, when you get into the space, it doesn't matter. That's what I tell artists too. Like, yes, Web3 is, you know, in a bear right now, but there's still people here. There's still people buying art. So what's stopping you, kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think maybe the being early thing isn't just like, you know, the time, but more just finding the time, finding the area where there's less noise or it's a smaller group. So you get more attention and quality time with people.
Yes.
And yeah, the black market is a great time for that, actually. So
it is a great time. And also feel like this is also the time where, I don't really feel the same way, but like lately, at least for the past like 3 or 4 months, I feel like my interaction on Twitter with other people has been more authentic. because I feel like there's more artists in the space now who are left and new artists are coming to check it out. There's like less of those showing, oh my God, we're going to, you know, LFG, buy this, yeah. buy. Like there's less of that, which I think is such a great thing for this space.
Yeah.
Right. And then I, like a lot of us came to this space because of the art, because of the creator economy. And I do believe that the creator economy is going to be even more important going to the future with the AI's help, with all these platforms available, you know, just putting yourself out there, talking to people, being in the communities. And oh yeah, I know all these authentic, more authentic quote unquote interaction on Twitter, like you never know what all that's going to lead to.
Yeah.
So what you said is right. Like find your community, interact with people. A lot of what you said is kind of like marketing 101, like make sure people remember you, make sure you show them a good product, good work. And then if you do it consistently, something will happen. That's like marketing 101. So like, I think being consistent is also very important.
I'm really glad you mentioned that because I think I'm before NFTs, I'm pretty bad at the whole art marketing thing, but I think we are learning how to do it in an authentic way. And finally, it's nice to hear that you're saying that, oh, what I'm doing, it is marketing.
Cause I don't know. Yeah, it is. You're building awareness and then building connections and all that's networking and marketing and, you know, community building.
Yeah.
That's a hot buzzword right now, right? So how did you first hear about Web3 and NFTs?
So while I was doing, so projection mapping was actually a separate personal thing that I was doing. And I joined a lot of open calls and it was paying off for a bit. And then the pandemic happened. And I found that all my projection mapping shows were postponed and my live visual shows were postponed. And then I think some other live visual shows tried to pivot and go online streaming. But when I watched my shows online streamed, I found it very boring. Sorry to my kind. It's just, I felt like it was missing the, you know, the vibe of being in the space and connecting with people in the venue. So I just started looking into what other ways that were more interactive and just something more like connected to people, you know, and virtual shows seemed like a good idea, but I found out about crypto art first through Super Rare. And that was actually simply more of a, maybe it's like a good way to make side income. And then from there, I started to kind of think about, oh, wait, but crypto and blockchain, it's also sometimes about the metaverse. And I was thinking that there might be potential of things becoming more like live shows on metaverse. And that's why I started digging into the NFT community. That's how I started.
I love that. It was unlike most of us, and I'm really just talking about myself. It's like you saw this big, shiny, like moving prop object. You're like, oh, what is this? And you kind of like just got drawn into it because of the pretty art and all this vibrant community, right? But you actually approached it in a very like, with the intention, like you saw where everything's kind of going and you saw how that could relate to what you're doing right now. So you look into it because you saw a future application. And I think you're 100% right. And I think all that is going to get bigger too. So that's really cool.
The Super Rare. And I was like, maybe I can make money.
Yes.
I mean, I was also quite scared that maybe like the shows would just continue being postponed as well. So I also needed to find if maybe I need to like find another avenue to make money, you know, just real talk. I think artists.
Yeah, that's really smart of you. That's really smart of you. We should always have a plan B, right? Because you never know where things are going, especially with something like COVID that was just kind of came out of nowhere.
Time.
Yeah. So how has your journey been like so far?
So memorable. How would I say? Yeah, like starting in 2021 was just mind opening. Just like meeting all the people and the community and just knowing what's out there and the potential. There are just so many good memories, like online karaoke, all the Discord stuff we were doing. And it was just like a really nice vibe 2021 because people weren't making like a lot of money either. So we were just kind of like the bear market right now, just chilling and getting to know everyone. And then, of course, the bull was also crazy in its own way. So I would just say like, both the good and bad, it's just been very memorable and very interesting. And I don't really regret it, even during the bad times.
There is something, I think, intoxicating about this space, though. Like you said, I can't really quite put my finger on what that is.
There's a bit of a gambling feeling to it, to be honest.
Right. I'm definitely waiting for the ball, right? For sure. But I think there's also this sense of possibilities.
Yeah.
Because before this, I was like, I would never even imagine getting my art into a gallery or like in a show. I have my Etsy store. I was like, that's part of, you know, what I need to focus on. But with this space, right now I'm trying to enter in, like you said, as many open calls and art submissions as possible and just put my work out there. There's a sense of possibility that like anything could happen because there are so few of us here and there are a lot of opportunities, right?
Yeah.
So I just like encourage everybody just take
there.
A gamble.
Yeah.
There's nothing to lose. Just risk it. Why not? Right?
Yeah, I agree. It's like even if you, okay, let's say we don't really sell art, you'll still get lots of opportunities that you wouldn't have gotten pre-NFT, because how else are you going to get into these galleries and show that? For example, I was in Japan with my small circle from my past company. That's like the only circle that I had for my career. So things have really changed how much opportunity that could get.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that I'm talking to you, I've met so many artists in this space,
yeah,
and that all of you guys have made my art better and given inspirations. Seriously. Okay. So we're like midway into this conversation. So to everyone who joined us, I'm talking to the amazing 3D artist, Ari Harigai, today. And we really appreciate it if you give us a follow, like, and retweet right now. Thank you so much. And now I'm getting to the meaty part. I think everyone here wants to know,
ooh,
how do you make your art?
Okay.
What programs, Versa? You create this 3D rotating, ethereal, metaverse, crazy compositions. They're not even just like a piece of art. They're like an entire composition, right? So what programs do you use to create them art?
So,
and can you just tell us about your process and like where you get your inspirations from for your art, etc.?
I would say that I've been using After Effects for a really, really long time. But I also wanted to challenge myself with Blender when I first started joining the NFT space. So a lot of my work is I use Blender to model a lot of the, I guess, the decorations around. And then I'll composite onto After Effects. And then I'll add like a lot of like the lighting and the effects on top of that. And for my human subjects, I can model on Blender. I don't think I'm still very good at it. And it also takes a long, long time. So I started using Stable Diffusion, which is AI, and blending a lot of different custom models to mix the Western and Asian look of my model, which is, you know, in line with the art that I'm creating. So what I'll do is first generate the work on Stable Diffusion and then mask it, bring it into Blender and start modeling all the decorations and the objects around it. And then use the camera to rotate it or whatever I need to do, render it and bring it into After Effects to add like the final touches and all the effects on top. And that's usually what I do. And sometimes I just do 3D just because it's fun and I don't really... My recent, the alien flowers are all 3D. And yeah, that's kind of my process right now.
So how long does it take you to finish one piece?
That's quite hard. Maybe I would say, that's kind of hard though, because, you know, sometimes you need time apart to just go back to it and rework it.
Yes, for sure. And sometimes unnecessarily.
So I don't know if I should maybe just say, let's say a week, but I feel like it takes months sometimes.
Because you go back and forth and then like you might be working on multiple pieces at once.
Yeah, and then I come back and think, I want to change the look of this for no reason.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, totally. I get that. Okay, well, I really appreciate you sharing your process because, you know, this is like really, really peering. What's the saying goes, like opening the kimono, see what's inside. So I really appreciate you sharing that. So I'm wondering, like from everything you've seen in this space and what's going on with the metaverse, do you think 3D art will have a bigger influence in your career and what you do?
I think so, because I do projection mapping. Once I'm much more faster and comfortable, I would like to do full 3D projection mapping. And mapping, it's really all about the shadows, and there's a limit to how you can get that on After Effects. So I do think for me, 3D is something I really want to pursue. But in terms of general, I don't think there's like one media that's going to dominate or anything at all.
Gotcha. So you're more focused on the outcome, and whatever tool you need to use is... is what you will utilize.
Yes, I'm also seeing if AI will make it so you can, they'll instantly make a 3D model. Maybe that's a bit too far.
There is. I found out about a program.
But is it like a base model? Because I am quite a perfectionist, so I don't know if I guess I could always work on top of it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It was like an image that you can upload and you'll turn it into a 3D program.
It was still a bit clunky. But I think AI is still a bit clunky in general.
It's true. So which leads me to my next question.
Yeah.
Perfect segue. I know that you mentioned that you use AI in your workflow.
Yes.
So like, what's your thoughts on just general AI usage for artists and what's kind of your stance on that?
I think it's just for practical reasons. For a long time, a lot of technology, there's lots of backlash, but when it's convenient, we all end up using it. So to me, it's almost like instead of fighting it, it's better to get to know the media quickly and see how it could help my life. So I know a lot of people will agree with that, but it's also like, I remember with social media back in like Facebook as well, every time they change something, everyone will be so angry and blah, blah, blah. And then we'll forget about it in a month and everyone is using it like normal. People say like, oh, I'll never use a smartphone, but they're using BlackBerry or something. And then we all end up using smartphones. Sorry, this sounds
right.
Like old person, but it's been like stuff I've heard a lot as well. So I just feel like, oh, it's AI. When I first heard about it, I was also very indifferent. And I almost later on when I started seeing a lot of AI art and some of them do look very similar, I was also like I didn't really like AI art either. So for me, it's more like try to keep an open mind and work with all the new technology. And the more you know about it, the more you're able to adapt it to what you need.
100%. You just have more like abilities or tools available to you, available to you and any artist to take your art to the next level, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had this discussion, argument, whatever you call this, with many people online and offline, right? And I think the more I talk to people, the more like it kind of solidifies my view on this. Like you said, AI doesn't create perfect art. Like there's still a lot of bad AI art out there, right? Yeah. And it kind of if you're someone who just needs an image for whatever purposes and you use AI and then you post it, that's one type of purpose. That's, you know, that's fine. But I can't consider those as art because I think in the end, the art is related to the artist and the artist's vision or thoughts or view is kind of what connect the collectors and the viewers to the art, right?
Yeah.
And I think the artists who use AI as a tool that gets better results, I believe, and I know that there's still a lot of like hands-on time in the background editing and redo the images so that it looks like something the artist as an individual is okay with or proud with sharing.
Yeah.
It's like differences between the two approaches, right? And I think in the end, if two approaches are both acceptable, then to me, like AI has to be a tool. And I think a couple of weeks ago, I was talking on a space about this topic, and I compare AI to like AI art to almost photography. Do people consider photography as art? Obviously it is because they're in museums, there's gallery shows of photographers, right? But if you really think about it, it's still the camera that takes a picture, but the artist's look, mood, or the feeling, whatever the artist wants to achieve is in the hands of artists to maneuver the camera and then to make it like to have the outcome that they want. And to me, I feel like it's the exact same thing.
I also noticed a lot of artists who weren't using AI, the one that I really respect, they all end up having very similar vibes to what they were creating anyway, which
is great. Yeah,
really interesting as well. Like even if it's AI, it still feels like your art, which I really like.
Yeah, I think it's so important for like traditional artists who have like some sort of style following already to figure out how to do that style in AI, either through manual edit or prompt addition or different platforms to get to it. I think having that style consistent is probably the most important for the branding artist.
Yeah. Oh, but there's one thing I want to say because I'm in the new media, right? So it's a lot easier for me to to embrace AI since it's technology. But I do understand like the frustrations for 2D illustrators because it is like a style that they built with their hands, right? But I personally feel that their handmade 2D art is going to be higher in value because people always like handmade stuff. So I personally think that AI gets even more common. 2D art is just going to be like so much more valuable. Yeah.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And in some ways, I mean, if anybody wants to talk to me about like the marketing art approach, please DM me. But I think in a lot of ways, AI also allows some of these traditional art, if these like illustrators, and I think there's a way to train AI models to output art in that style. I don't know how long it takes. I'm actually something I want to look into next. If they can figure out how to train AI to consistently output that style, then I think that's awesome because the training AI part is the work that the artist is doing, right? So I think that's fine. But yeah, I think AI is going to be with us, around us. So might as well jump on board and get with the program. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think like I just hope that AI art is just one category. It doesn't mean we all have to do AI art as well, right? Because I also draw on the side and I enjoy drawing the process. So I don't need to make it an AI 100%. Art. And I don't think people have to do it either. And I just hope that like, you know, yeah, the 2D art does go up in value.
Cause I think it will.
Yeah, I see a lot of hand-drawn art by artists and I love it so much more, to be honest, even though I do AI.
That's so fun. Yeah, I feel the same way. There's like, how do you say, the appreciation for the imperfections, you know, those arts that make them human and relatable, right? Mm. And oh yeah, I was the other point I wanted to make was that I think for the traditional artist who can train AI to output the style, then in some ways they can use those images for social media, whatever, to gain more awareness of themselves, but then they can sell the 2D traditional art.
Oh, that's, I see what you mean. Yeah, because like social media content part is just so daunting. I can see.
It's daunting. There's like before AI, a few years back, I feel like I was constantly have to create new content to post. Yeah. And it was getting to the point. Yeah, it was getting to the point. I feel like I was just creating so I can some content to post. Yeah. And that was not a fun cycle to be in.
Yeah.
So I think with AI, it actually kind of alleviates one part of that. So you've been in the industry for a little while now and you've been doing art for a little while now. So how do you feel like your art style has changed over the years?
Also, I'll tell you my history. I used to be... But during my teenage years, I used to be a very emo girl and I liked my movie art and music. And that has kind of continued for a long time. My art is, I'm attracted to moody and weird art. And then as I grew older, I guess I was slowly trying to become a more positive person. And then I realized that one day I was collecting a lot of Tezos art. And I noticed that everything I collected was very happy and cute and colorful. And I had this realization that if I collect this, if this is the type of art I love, why am I creating these moody type of art that I wouldn't want to collect for myself? And another thing is I used to stay at Airbnbs on holiday and I realized I like to see cute, bright art on the walls. I don't want to see slightly moodier stuff because I get scared. And this realization made me realize that it's time to let go of that emo girl and focus on positivity. And there's also this thing of like romanticizing pain and negative feelings when you're an artist as well. And I don't want to follow that anymore. I want to gain inspiration from happiness and positive stuff. So yeah, I've noticed that my work has become more bright and pretty in 2022 to 2023.
Oh, that's fascinating. It's almost like as you enter Web3 and as you go through the, you know, experience and the journey, you realize that you no longer is a person that you used to be.
Yes.
And that's crazy.
Also the influence of everyone around me, like there's people with trad art backgrounds who are, you know, tell you to think about why you create things and talk about it. And the more I think about it, the more I realize that the moody stuff just doesn't resonate with me anymore. I don't want to be influenced by any of that. I want to stay positive. I moved away.
That's amazing. Do you find that as you talk about your art to other people more, that you also got to know your own art more?
Yes, 100%.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm going to quote this, everyone. This is why we need to talk about our art.
Yeah,
I know that, but it's really important. And I think when I first started doing it, like, I'm sure everybody goes through this. You feel like, I don't want to tell people I'm a quote unquote artist because that seems so like, I don't think I am, but I feel weird about telling people that, but I know I have to, like that imposter syndrome period. And I think a lot of times I think all artists feel the same way, right? Like they always feel like their art could be better. There's always things that they can improve on. And then every time you finish a piece, you go back, look at it a week, two later, you're like, oh, I should have done this different, whatever, right?
Is that universal? Because sometimes you create work and then next week you're like, why does it look so bad?
Yes, I think that's universal. It's like we have already moved on to that piece and we're not thinking about the next one.
Yeah.
So that like anything in the past is like bad, right? Yeah. And I'm trying to change that because I think more on this path, it's like just really hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if you do your best hit, so to speak, is always the next one, then you kind of have to keep going. And I think that's fine, but it kind of takes a soul. At some point, you got to quote unquote stop by and smell the roses.
Yeah.
And look at everything you've accomplished and just feel good about it for a second.
Oh,
and then you move
on
to the next struggle. And I think I do it. I don't know everybody else do it. I don't know if this is universal, but when you see someone who's do like amazing work, they just really, so you feel just bad about yourself. You're like, I need to get there. I need to work harder. So there's like also that too.
Oh, the comparison thing is dangerous.
I know it's bad. You shouldn't do that. If you do that as an inspiration to like learn something, it's fine. But I could also see how dark it could get. Like every time you release something, it doesn't sell. But another artist release something, it sells out. You're like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Right. But you just, it's a lot of that. It's just luck, chance, time of the day. You never know. So now you just kind of didn't move on and don't dwell on that.
Yeah. And even before NFT, you don't know how long their career is, right? We all feel like we're starting at the same time, but some people have like many, many years of mastering their craft. So.
Yeah. So it's never too late or too early to do this what you want to do. You just got to start. And I always tell people begin something is always most important.
Yes. And
once you begin, yes, you call yourself an artist and then you talk about your art with confidence to other people. And then you kind of got to expect not everybody's going to like your art. But when you do find those who love it, that's like an awesome connection to have.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like you keep up with trends and kind of know where everything is going, at least in relation to what you want to do in your life, your career. So how do you keep up with all industry trends and continuous developing your skills? Do you have like a method? It happens randomly. How does that happen for you?
That's a bit hard for me because like maybe it is already a bit in me. I really like to, I'm a bit curious about what the young people are doing. But like, yeah, I'm just curious. Like, you know, even like maybe my niece, I'll be curious about what anime she's into this time. And I love going through TikTok, to be honest. And that's also how I also like learn about new makeup trends too. And I just want to mention that my art isn't just inspired from art. It's inspired from a lot of things like fashion as well. So I do like to go through TikTok and listen to the latest tracks that are popular and all that as well. And also my stage visuals, I also, because I work with a lot of artists, it's a lot of idols that are popular recently, and that's how I get to learn about what's popular as well.
Well, that's great. And I think that's great for anybody, right? Not just a creative person, just because the things in the world are changing so fast. And I know some of my biggest fear when I was younger is like, I don't want to become a dinosaur when I'm old. And like all those old people will come across in life, like they don't know anything about what's going on.
Yeah.
Right? So there's definitely that fear too.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious that you mentioned TikTok because me watching like random TikTok artist videos in 2021 was what kind of inspired me to take on this artist career.
Oh my God.
Because I see all these like young kids, like teenagers in high school will make illustrations and drawings and they will make stickers to sell them. And like they have tons of followers. You look at the store, they sell tons of stickers. I'm like, all these teenage kids can do it. Like I should try at least.
Oh,
I might not be as good or whatever, but I should try, right? Me too. It's just like, it's like that's the creator economy we're talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
Now there's like this direct-to-consumer relationship anybody can build if you spend the time and effort and be consistent about it. And then like you could just do a lot of things you want that traditionally before might not be possible.
Oh, is that why you're
very motivated in this space too?
Because we didn't really have that opportunity before.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just such like, how do you say this? I know there's a lot of people poo-pooing this space. And there's like, when I talk to you about it, it's like a lot of sarcasm you get. But I say, they say that because they're not in this space, right? Mm. Because like you and I who are in there meeting real people, having real conversations,
yeah,
even outside of just a social platform, has been amazing and has just enabled so many things. And I feel like it's such a big opportunity for artists like to miss it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to the 5 years from now, if you enter, the space will probably be a lot harder, a lot more crowded, right? Yeah. So this is the opportunity, like start something.
Get in now.
But get in now. And
so I don't want to say it too loud.
Right. But I mean, like, because like my background's Chinese, right? And I know that talking about yourself, going and like on speaking out spaces and all that is really hard for a lot of people with Asian background.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage everyone to have a bigger representation in this space too.
Yeah, thank you for making
these kind of spaces.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I'm still doing it. And, you know, there are definitely times it's hard. I just love it. I love having these conversations with you. I love like sharing what I learn with people. And every time I talk to someone, I learn something. So I hope everybody feels the same way. That was a lot of like cheering talk for Web3 and NFTs.
Oh, right? I wanted to mention one thing though, because AI
will be able to translate real time. So maybe your Chinese artist can just talk on spaces and it'll just be translated by voice.
Oh yeah, I know.
That'll be really cool.
That will be awesome. So we'll see what Elon will do with this this AI asset that he's incorporating.
Yes.
How do you envision the role of Web3 and NFTs playing your art career going forward? Is this something that you're for sure going to be part of your career?
So I think right now, doing both my stage visuals and digital art is like a good balance for me. But even if it was just like the digital art side, I feel like it would just be like another way of transacting as well. It's not like right now we're like in a very big NFT culture, but whatever happens, I still feel like it's kind of like when you sell prints and you have your credit card and your PayPal. And I feel like another option would just be like, oh, you want to mint the original as NFTs kind of thing as well. And maybe that's how it spreads to everyone, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it will be, I just had this conversation with someone yesterday, actually. I think for our artists who are in the Web3 NFT spaces right now, I think it will be good to enable some sort of fiat payment because this way you are a lot more people to be part of your community, right? Yeah. And then I can definitely see like people who might have bought your art with a credit card, then realizing you're doing all these things else. And then maybe you'll find other artists in this space. And then, you know, like I feel like these two groups of people interacting is going to be very, very important for the future Web3, so to speak, the growth of the art market.
Getting a wallet is quite intimidating for new people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still haven't
like I'm a genius or something, but I just say it's the same as, you know, getting an app, like downloading an app. I feel like people are just intimidated by the word NFT and crypto as well.
I mean, I would have to say the wallet thing's not like the most user-friendly. I mean, I still have trouble like keeping track of all of them. And then I get panic attacks once in a while. Like, where did all my ETH go?
Oh my God. And like, it's also like, if you make a mistake, you have to pay for it. So like people.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. We actually have a question from the audience.
Oh.
Info Remix asked, what is your favorite Japanese food? And do you have any cross-culture artists that you know that we should keep an eye on?
Oh my God, favorite Japanese food.
So many.
I know there's so many.
I feel like this is very, very average, but sushi for sure. Like, I don't know why. I just can't get tired of sushi.
That's awesome. And there's probably awesome fish in Japan, so I can understand that.
It's like also everywhere you go, if you just say, let's have sushi, everyone is also like, yes, sushi.
Although I also like shabu shabu.
Oh, yeah, I like shabu shabu. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Very, very, very good. Standard. I think everybody could agree that that's awesome.
Yay.
Oh, and then are there artists, cross-culture artists that you love that you think everyone should know?
Oh, yes. Okay. I was wondering who, and I was, oh, yeah. Zenavi, one of my besties in Web3. Well, I'm assuming it's cross cultural because she's moved around all the time. I don't know. I can't even count on the finger like what mix she is. But yeah, Zenavi is a really
fascinating
friend of mine. And we both started around 2021 together. And she's also part of NFT Asia. Yeah, we've been grinding together. And I think you guys should check it out because she has like a 1.25 ETH auction happening right now. So check her out at Zenavi, Z-E-N-A-V-I.
E-I said?
Z-E-N-A-V-I. Zen and
okay, cool. Got it. Thank you. That was awesome. I'm definitely going to check her out. Like when an artist recommend an artist, that's a big deal. So.
Oh, yeah. She's also a really great community leader. So, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, there you go, Info Remix. Got a good recommendation today. Okay. And we're coming up to the hour, and I'm sure you're ready to stop talking. I just have two more questions for you, and then, we can end this, right?
Yeah.
The second question is, second to last question. Are you currently working on any collections or projects that you're releasing soon that you would like to share alpha with us?
So actually, I recently dropped one, and it's part of Nina, who's in the audience. She has curated a space with ONBD, and the theme is Sparkles, and I have a drop there at Super Rare. And the theme is about sparkles, which is amazing. My favorite thing.
My favorite thing too, I just say. I love sparkles. Okay, well, I will definitely share this link afterwards so everyone can check it out. I think it'll be awesome to see. I can't remember if I saw that, but I will definitely share the link with everybody.
Thank you. The piece is called Luminescence, and there's also a lot of artists in the space as well who created based on the brief of like what sparkles means to you. So if you want to check out the other artists too, go have a look.
Sounds good. Will do. Awesome. And then lastly, I know that you've been in this space since 2021, you said, so you're kind of an OG here now, right? I know that you mentioned a little bit before about, artists should get into the network, network and talk about their art and whatnot. Do you have any other advice that you want to share with artists who are new to the NFT space or who are thinking about entering the NFT space?
Yes. So I think, like I said earlier, it's important to join community and get to know people. But I think specifically, I think small artists should get to know other small artists who are on the same journey as them and grow together. We often get distracted by the big accounts that are, quite popular at the moment, and you all want to feel like we need to get seen there. But actually, I feel like I could get the most quality response, I guess, when I interact with artists that are similar in the start point as me or like smaller around my follower base as well. It also kind of worked out for me open call wise as well. Sometimes it's better to go for like the smaller, what's the word for it? Instead of like trying to be a small fish in a big pool, try to
look for opportunities.
Be the big fish in the small pond. Yep.
Look for opportunities where you could
be like, maybe go local or look for open calls where not much people are paying attention. And I feel like you end up meeting more interesting people that way, So there's less noise.
Yeah, that is such good advice, actually. I think one, small artists, right? Like go approaches big accounts. Most likely you'll get rejections. And I don't think that's good for the artist's mental space as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, the big accounts got so much
DMs and sponsors. They just don't have time.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you're just the pebble in their big universe, right? But if you go smaller, kind of find the niches, the communities and ponds, like you said, that fits your size and you start there and then grow, then it's probably a much more enjoyable experience.
Yeah, and they'll also appreciate, everyone needs to get some sort of interaction from their tweets as well. And it's always nice when someone takes the time to retweet and interact. So
yes. And I think that just helps, like paying it forward kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jerry, for spending your night out hours with us. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode and this podcast, please hit that subscribe button and follow me on social media.
I appreciate your support because it is a fuel that feeds the fire, and I cannot do any of this without you. With that, have a great day and see you next time.